I know you're not supposed to wait for inspiration, but for me, it works better if I'm ready to write the story rather than just sit down every day and force myself to write.
From the Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing at The Ohio State University, this is Writer's Talk. I'm Doug Dangler. The annual Ohioana Book Festival celebrates Ohio authors. We talked to a number of authors at the 2009 festival about their latest publications and the writing life. In this episode, we talked to Stephanie Reed.
Hello, and welcome back to the CSDW Podcasts. I am with Stephanie Reed, who's going to talk about her book, The Light Across the River, and how she does her writing and things along those lines. So welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great. Tell me about The Light Across the River. What is this novel about?
Well, it's about the John Rankin family in Ripley, Ohio. The Rankin House is a national historic landmark, mm-hmm. and the family ran a station of the Underground Railroad for 40 years. But what a lot of people don't know is they also knew Harriet Beecher Stowe, and they told her the story of Eliza, the slave who crossed on the ice. And Harriet Beecher Stowe, of course, told that story in Uncle Tom's Cabin, but she agreed to keep the Rankins part in the story a secret. So now I tell the rest of the story about how they helped the slave Eliza escape. Not many people know she was a real person.
Okay. Where were you able to find the background for the story? Is it all on public display at the Rankin House, or was there a lot of going through old records?
Well, I did a lot of research. I grew up in the Dayton area, and we used to drive to my grandma's house in Kentucky, which took us right through Ripley, Ohio, where Rankin House is. And I would see the sign every time we would drive by there. And it just kind of stuck with me. As I grew up, I decided that the Underground Railroad is a really interesting subject. Came across the Rankin family again, but not much other information about them. So I thought, well, maybe this is my story that I get to write. Mm-hmm. So did a lot of work with the Ripley Library, who was very helpful with letting me read Rankin family documents. They were factual, but they told a lot of fascinating history about the family too. And so I kind of used my creative imagination and just put myself into the story about how I would feel if I was those people in that kind of situation.
Okay. So what was your writing process after you'd collected all of this stuff? Did you have specific times a day you sat down, or did it sort of accrete as you worked along? How did that happen?
I'm not really a BIC butt in chair kind of person. So when I write, it's more like, I don't know, I'll get inspired. I know you're not supposed to wait for inspiration, but for me, it works better if I'm ready to write the story rather than just sit down every day and force myself to write. So afternoon is a good time for me to write. Early morning is not so much, but it just seems like afternoon I have more to bring to the process, I guess. So for me, do the research, which I love because I used to work in the Dayton library system. Do the research. I'm also a Christian, so I like to pray about it before I write and try to figure out what I need to use, what I need to leave out. So it's kind of different for me. I don't think of myself as a typical writer, but we all have a hard time sometimes when it comes to sitting down and putting something on the page. So you just have to do what works for you.
What's your favorite genre to read?
You know, really, I like to read true story. And maybe that's why I ended up writing based on a true story. I like biographies. I like autobiographies. I like to read, like, say, Little Women, which was based on a true story, or Little House on the Prairie, or Caddy Woodlawn, all those kind of historical stories. I read more children's books probably than I do adult books. If I read an adult book, it'll be a mystery. I'm not much of a genre reader. I like more of literature.
What are you reading right now?
Right now, I am reading a book that a fellow author at my publisher, Kriegel, came out with. It's called Fatal Illusions, and it's by Adam Bloomer, and it's kind of different coming out from a Christian publisher because it's about a Houdini wannabe who is using his magic and stalking women and killing them. So it's kind of, from a Christian publisher, that might not be what you expect to come out, but that's Kriegel Publications. Okay. It's pretty good.
All right. What kind of writing haven't you written yet that you'd like to try? What's maybe on the horizon?
Well, interestingly, something that I've always liked is to take a Bible story and make it come alive for people now. I just found out from David C. Cook, which is a big publisher out in Colorado, that I get to be a freelance writer for them. So I get to maybe do, it might not seem exciting to other people, but it is to me, the Sunday school stories. But like for Vacation Bible School or Sunday school, take those stories from the Bible, which are really good stories, but maybe they're not written in a way that put the kids right there in the story. So I like to use my, like I said, my sanctified or creative imagination and kind of make it come alive for kids. I really like history and making it interesting to kids today.
Okay. What authors do you particularly admire?
I love to read. I read Tom Sawyer every year by Mark Twain. I don't think I could ever read that book and get tired of it. I just learn something new every time from it. I like Laura Ingalls Wilder because of Little House on the Prairie books. I mean, they're nice for history, but she was also an excellent writer. She just, the way she puts things on the page, you can just see it, and I really appreciate that. I like James Herriot that wrote the All Creatures Great and Small books. Mm-hmm. To Kill a Mockingbird, that's one of my perennial favorites. I love that book, and I've read it several times, too. I don't just read a book once. I will read it again and again and again and study it and find out what I can bring to the way I tell a story.
What kind of things have you picked up that way? What sort of lessons did you learn from Laura Ingalls Wilder or James Herriot?
Okay, both of them would take a true story, but it's truth is stranger than fiction, but it's not really more interesting than fiction. If some people will say, okay, I have to tell this because this is a true story, but to just put it down on the page exactly the way it happened is not really going to be that interesting for a reader necessarily. So sometimes you have to delve a little deeper into it. Okay, well, why did the character react this way? What in the way the character grew up might have influenced them to react this way? You just have to take it deeper than a surface level telling of the story. So like from Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, I would learn that, say from the scene where Tom Sawyer is trying to win a Bible by reciting Bible verses. He can't remember the Bible verse to save his life. His sister has to prompt him and give him every word. Well, it took me until I was an adult to realize that later in the book, he's playing Robin Hood with his friends, and he can recite whole pages of what happened in the Robin Hood book. Mm-hmm. So it's like you put something in there for adults, Mark Twain did, that they would realize that, yeah, that's just how kids are. They don't want to learn what they have to learn, but they will learn what they want to learn. Mm-hmm. So it's just little things like that, just things that you can pick up on if you read a book more than once.
Okay. When were you sure that you wanted to become a writer?
When I was real young, probably maybe 8 or 9. And I don't know why, but it's just something that when I read a book, I thought, I like this, you know, I want to do this. This is so important to me. I was always reading. I mean, we have a favorite picture of me when we're at a national park in Ohio, and it's just gorgeous, all the fall colors, and I'm reading a comic book while my brothers and sisters are looking around. So to me, reading, it was an escape when I was a kid, but it was also something that I knew that I wanted to be a part of. It's just for me to have written a book and to have people read it. That's just the ultimate for me.
What comic book was it?
It was Little Dot.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
That's interesting. A lot of people look at comic books as sort of a something that you know, I think there are a lot of people who are religious who don't, you know, want their kids reading comic books. But Little Dot, I think it was a Christian comic book, wasn't it?
No, it was just like with Little Audrey, Little Lulu, they're all little.
Little
Richie
Lulu,
Rich,
yeah.
You Richie know, Rich, and all yeah. those. Yeah, it was in that vein, so mm-hmm. pretty harmless. But really, my parents let me read whatever I want. And just because I was a fast reader, I always read whatever I could get my hands on. Like, I read the phone book before. I mean, you can... When we didn't get to the library fast enough for me, I would...
Just for the story?
Well, No, not for the story, but you'd be surprised. You can find some really funny names in a phone book. Like I remember finding Eura Ford or Dream McKay Miracle. You know, these are, you know, weird names to me, so that amused me. And also, I bet I can look anything up in the phone book faster than anybody listening. So, if I got bored, I wanted something to read, and I didn't care what it was. Cereal box, phone book, signs along the road, which was how I found out about the Rankin House, so it served me pretty well.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for talking to us today. And do you have a website that you'd like to...
I do. Actually, it's my blog, which is www.homeschoolblogger.com/step, STEF.
Okay. All right, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Be sure to check out our other Ohioana podcasts and our many author interviews at www.writerstalk.org. Until the next time, keep writing.